Welcome back to Rhymes with Al McKee, we're calling it today, a podcast project of Inspired Media, telling you stories about communities you love by people you trust. I'm your host, Benji Nichols, a very special guest today that I am so happy to have along with me here, Executive Director of the Al McKee County Economic Development and Tourism World, Valerie Rinke. How are you?
I am good. Val, I'm glad to hear I'm special.
Val, do you know the first thing I ask people before I start recording a show?
What?
Even people I've known for years? How do you say your last name?
Rinke.
Right? Okay, yes. Okay. Woof. I could have gotten away with it. There's nothing worse than mispronouncing someone's name you know. So, Valerie Rinke, thank you for being here today. I have had the pleasure of getting to meet you, work with you, be in the same place multiple times in the last few years. Your world in Al McKee County is a very large umbrella. You cover a lot of ground. You have a lot of history and roots in our region. And so it's so fun to have you here and get to talk a little bit about this.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking just before, something I didn't know, you were originally from another small town in our region. Where was that?
Born and raised in Caledonia, so just over the border.
No kidding. And to pull you back into Iowa, I feel like it's usually the other way around for some reason. I feel like people kind of get the...
I don't know. I look at my husband and all of his friends, and they all married Minnesota girls, so
figure. They must have just had the right connection there. Huh? That's amazing. Your husband and family, longtime folks in the ag world in Northeast Iowa, right?
They are. We live on a century farm, and definitely they farm every day. So
love
keeps
that.
Us busy.
Absolutely. Your world, of course, then as you got your start with a family in Iowa, I guess I would say, was on a farm, right? Living that lifestyle, being part of the everyday, what happened. Where did you find yourself professionally as you were starting your family? How did you find your way to economic development?
I know. I mean, I look at that, but it definitely picks up in the fact of all of my jobs, careers, if you will, in the past have been sales, marketing. But then I found myself in banking. I found myself in manufacturing. I found myself in recruitment. Found myself, managing. So all of those things. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute. Now I have kids. I probably need to get a little bit closer to home. So if John's in the tractor, I can still go pick up the kids, right? So those things all play into it. And the stars aligned. And I had been serving on the Al McKee County board from 2009 to 2015 when Laura left. And I'm like, you know what? I just feel like this is calling me. And voila, 2015, I began.
That's incredible. So you've been in your position now since 2015, right?
Right.
So you've got a few years under your wing and probably a very good view of what's happening in your region. One thing, so it's funny as you describe those different pieces, because to me, I think sometimes people don't always understand what economic development is, despite what is a fairly clear definition.
True.
I think when people look at, like Stephanie Fromm has been on the show before here from Winnesee County, other folks, all over the region who work in economic development don't always realize that essentially what it is, if I were to describe it, you should describe it in your own words, but it's just a giant umbrella that you're holding that holds so many different pieces of the puzzle for any place, any county, any region, any town. Is that accurate? Well, how do you describe it?
You call it a puzzle. I'll call it Jenga.
There you go.
Okay. So you have this tower, and the thing is it doesn't matter. I mean, there are so many things that impact it because I worry about retaining businesses. I worry about, do they have enough people to work? And if they're not, then is it being impacted by childcare? Is it being impacted by housing? Is it being impacted by there's some other strange closure or something like that? But it is Jenga because all of those pieces matter, and you are involved with all of them. It might be transportation. It might be just the whatever small business might be closing or opening. Do you have enough support for them? Do you have any financial help for them? Does it make sense for them to move here? Are they going to find those kind of employees? I mean, it's overwhelming.
Those are great.
but it's Jenga.
Yeah, Jenga is the, I think that's a great description. I'm not sure that I've heard that used, and that is a perfect description for what economic development is and does. Of course, your world is economic development and tourism, so you kind of get all of the pieces there, which is amazing. Something I think we should do, a lot of people, you know, even if you are local or not, you know, I think sometimes don't always think about, you know, how many towns or cities are in a county, right? And I started thinking about Almaquis, somewhere I've ran around all my life. My wife's family are all from Almaquis, you know, all those things. But until, you know, you look at the list, and so I'm gonna do that super quick. But you've got Waukon, Lansing, Postville, Harper's Ferry, New Albany, and Waterville.
There you go.
Did I get them?
You got them.
All right, that's awesome. The other thing I'll say about Almaquis County that's amazing just to me is that if people haven't spent time kind of digging in a little bit, they might not know. I mean, I hate to even say it sometimes, but like what is truly maybe the, like one of the hidden gems of Northeast Iowa, of Iowa, really. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Yellow River Forest, the Mississippi River, all the way along Almaquis County. It is just, it is such a spectacular part of our state. And it's really funny, I think sometimes if people don't dig in, they don't even realize what all's there, right? Because it's also a very rural place.
It is rural. We're 14,000 people total, right?
Yeah.
With our six communities. And I think for a lot of people, when they think Northeast Iowa, they think maybe Dubuque, maybe Waterloo. They might get as far as Decorah, but then they're like, oh, you know. So that part's hard.
I have stopped many a meetings on a state level with different various groups that I've been involved with when somebody mentions Northeast Iowa and starts talking about Cedar Rapids.
Yeah.
No offense. No offense at all to Cedar Rapids, a major economic industrial hub of Iowa, but it is not Northeast Iowa.
It is not.
I love it. So Almaquis County, the very northeast county of Iowa. So many interesting things that happen in the county. The tourism aspects of Almaquis County are amazing, right? The natural amenities that are available, the parks, Effigy Mounds, which, right, is Iowa's only, I believe, national monument.
It is.
We have another historic site, but that's the only monument, and Effigy Mounds is just a treasure trove of its own. You know, amongst other things, and of course, you know, just the natural beauty of the area, Yellow River Forest being a whole nother treasure. In fact, I have my Flyathlon shirt on
today.
Oh,
you do? Nice.
Didn't even realize it when I came today. But yeah, so a lot of those things. Tourism for you, though, what do you see people coming to Almaquis County to do? What do you think the broad strokes are?
Well, I know that in our office, I mean, people are requesting information, but probably our number one item that goes out is, I would say, our Almaquis County trout map.
Yeah.
You know, we definitely have people that are coming up because they want to get on the river, or they want to go in kayak, or they are coming down because they want to get away from screen time.
Yeah.
And they want to go hike Yellow River State Forest. They want to go see the fire tower there because it's the only one in the state.
Yeah.
You know, just the things like that. Or they're like, okay, Effigy Mounds, but we don't get it. So it's like, okay, let's connect them, make sure they go into the building and talk to someone so they can actually see what that means. Because I guess I didn't really get it either.
Yeah.
But then when I took the south route for my very first time with just random people, it was a random hike. Wow. That was like religious.
Sure.
I mean, you look back at those marching bears on that hillside.
Yeah.
And you look back and you're just like,
it's a really special story.
It's huge.
We were running through the area over the weekend and just dipping out of Almaquis, but we were down in Marquette, and I actually made my daughter, we stopped to use the restroom at the convenience store that's very conveniently placed. but across the street is their city hall. And I actually made our daughter step in just because I know the Emma Big Bear basket exhibit is there. And it's not big. It's not a big thing, but if you don't understand, again, like if you don't have a context of the story, you know, so some of those things are so neat and meaningful, but Fish Farm Mounds, another one, right? Just hidden gem of Almaquis County. Just
it is, and I guess that's why I'm always hoping that we can kind of be like, okay, maybe kick it off when you're at the Driftless Center, just south of Lansing, because you can really get a full scope of why the heck we look the way we look, you know, and the fact that, you know, the glaciers moved around us and left us very rugged, and that's why we look the way we do. But that could be a really great starting point, because then you are on the Driftless Area Scenic Byway, you are on the Iowa Great River Road. All of those things kind of then bring you into Effigy Mounds and Yellow River. So it just is a good starting point to understand why we are what we are, yeah. but also learn about the Upper Mississippi and the fact that it's our birthday for the wildlife refuge. And Pool 9 is like amazing.
Wait, you got to tell people what I understand what that means. But Pool 9 refers to the pools that were created by yes. the Corps of Engineers on the Mississippi River between the water control places, right?
I mean, right.
So there are different pools from Minneapolis all the way down the river that are controlled by the Corps of Engineers in the locks and dams, right?
Well done, yes.
But Pool 9 is the closest, or the
yes.
Closest in direction to
right.
the Almaquis County coast, if we'll call it that.
There we go, because yeah, if you actually travel up to Mount Hosmer and you look out, mm-hmm. I mean, that is an amazing view of all
One
three
of
states.
My favorites.
And you're yeah. just like, wow, is the Mississippi vast? Mm-hmm. And that describes to you what backwaters are, because yeah. Main channel versus backwaters, we're talking about some different things here. So
yeah, seriously, Mount Hosmer, again, that's in Lansing, another incredible, talk about, it has to be one of the most incredible, like, it's a city park, right? Which is wild to think about. It's one of the best views anywhere. There are a lot of totally. Good views on the Mississippi, but it is a spectacular one, and one that you can drive to the whole way up and back.
That is true.
Which for a lot of our population is really important. I love to hike. I love to bike. There's some incredible bike trails, hiking trails there too uh-huh. in Lansing. But it's a really neat place, and also some really nice facilities on top of that park as well for picnicking and hanging out.
Yes, definitely encourage a basket of goodies and go up there and enjoy a picnic. Plus, there's a place for kids to play.
Right. Yeah. AlmaquisCounty.com. If people were to want to find a starting place online to start learning more about these things we're talking about, Almaquis County, AlmaquisCounty, Almaquis County. And also, you guys have a fantastic new travel guide, right? That just came out here in the last
so
months,
excited.
Right?
So yeah. excited. It came out late fall. One always forgets how painful it is to try and make sure you get it right.
Oh, goodness.
But it's like 45 plus pages. We really tried to hone in on the Yellow River Effigy Mounds, the Great River Road, the Driftless Area Scenic Byway, that Education and Visitor Center to be like, okay, here's the broad scope, much less the Upper Mississippi,
yeah.
but then from there to kind of build your trip outward. But beautiful pictures, beautiful place, and kudos to everybody that helped me with that.
Yeah, that's it. It's a huge project undertaking. It's also a really nice size. It's kind of what I would call a travel guide size. So it's mm-hmm. easy. You can, you know, maybe a little bigger than pocket, but like easy to bring along, flip through, find your way, all those things. And of course, your guys' office is right in downtown Waukon on Main Street, right?
Yes, 101 yeah. West Main, right next to the post office. And we have a little courtyard.
Yeah.
We definitely have a brochure rack, and we have lots of people that come in and ask questions.
I love it. We're going to talk a little bit more about business and industry in the second half of the show. One other thing I want to mention on the top half of this show is that part of the reason, Val, we finally, you and I have found time to have this conversation, is that we're also building up a little bit of excitement for a little mini series of shows that I'm going to be doing, putting together with several amazing folks from Lansing, the Lansing, Iowa area. We're going to have five shows. We're going to call it Rhymes with Lansing, and those are going to be coming out here through April, I think. April, maybe it'll dip into May. We'll see. But all five of those will come out, and we're going to cover a lot of ground with Lansing. One of the reasons we're doing this is because, first and foremost, there's a very large construction project on the table replacing the Black Hawk Bridge. Black Hawk Bridge is a, 80-plus-year-old structure.
It's from 30-something or
yeah,
another.
So a very old steel bridge structure. It's a neat bridge. If you are from the area, I don't have to tell you anymore. If you're not, you will never forget driving over the Black Hawk Bridge. So there's a large construction process in place with the multiple state DOTs, et cetera, to replace that path over the Mississippi River. So construction has started on the main project, uh-huh. a new bridge being built, theoretically 2026 completion, uh-huh. big process. In the beginnings of that project here, there have been a few things that have happened. So the construction process started and the old bridge shifted a bit, correct?
Yes.
And so that bridge is currently closed here in April of, or I'm sorry, we're in March, but of 2024. Hopefully that bridge will be open again still, the old bridge, the Black Hawk Bridge, by late April, we're thinking.
That is what we're thinking, yes. They're awesome. Holding tight to that.
Yes. So hopefully that will be back. In the meantime, Lansing, Iowa, one of my favorite towns anywhere, happens to be maybe where I asked my wife to marry me. Which is a whole nother, I think there's actually a show about that. We're gonna have to see if I can bring that together. But not just us, but several people, I think, who've had a similar story. But Lansing is just an incredible town, but really their lifeline has been cut off here in March.
I think the traffic is over 2,000 a day.
Yeah, that bridge over the bridge. Yeah, absolutely. I had to tell Aaron the other day, in our distribution route, I mean, I go, you know, all the way up and down the river and 80 plus mile radius of Decorah, but I use every single one of the bridges from Prairie du Chien to Winona at least twice in my route. And when one of them's out, you really notice. We also have some folks and friends who live just across the river from Lansing who live and work and play in and out of Iowa. Gosh, it's a big deal.
You know, it really is a big deal, especially when you talk to your businesses, and the majority in Lansing, I would say, are mom and pop. There's a few corporate, but basically mom and pop, where you're on a cash basis, and immediately you see anywhere from a 50 to 80% decrease in sales from the day that it happened. And that's looking at the weeks before, and that's even looking historically. So, of course, the initial thought is, oh my gosh, we need to bring people. How are we going to do that? And by week three, we have a water taxi, which is super cool.
That's awesome.
Not that that was easy by any stretch of the imagination, because like you mentioned, I mean, we're talking about Wisconsin DOT, Iowa DOT, U.S. Corps of Engineers. We're talking about the Coast Guard. We are talking about the DNR.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle.
Beyond red tape.
Yes. And so, of course, you know, not just anyone is going to be hired to do that work. Not that we don't have people doing their own thing with their own boats, but we have a water taxi. And we just completed our first week.
That's awesome.
We had 354 people ride the taxi, which it is free, so to speak, because the Iowa DOT put that together.
Understood.
And are kind of making sure that that works well. And we have Robert Vavra and his boat, his large boat. I'm trying to think how many people that fits. I think it's over 50.
Yeah.
But basically, he is working 7 days a week.
Oh, my gosh.
He is working morning, noon, and into the evening and still trying to provide him a break.
Scheduled times, right?
There are scheduled times.
If people want to find that information, probably
Iowa DOT, Bridge at Mississippi River at Lansing.
Yeah.
They are the ones that are keeping that up to date. And, you know, they've worked that schedule some. And, of course, you get dropped off at Big Slough.
Yeah.
Well, you can't park at Big Slough.
Sure.
So then you're shuttled to DeSoto, and there's stops there. And when you come into the marina in Lansing, there's a shuttle that'll bring you into town. But imagine, okay? But the cool thing is that we're kind of looking at, you know, take lemons, make lemonade.
Absolutely. I'm like, this kind of sounds fun, honestly.
I mean, honestly, so I think they're having stickers printed that you were on the water taxi at the Lansing Bridge.
Oh, man.
But the thing is that, okay, so you want to come over for the day, you could park in DeSoto, catch the shuttle, come over by boat, shuttle into town, which is not too far.
Yeah.
And basically you could spend the day there and you could get coffee, you could shop, you could see the sights, and you could shop some more, eat some more, and hop back onto the water taxi.
I love it.
So we're trying to make lemonade.
Absolutely.
You know, and we're working hard to, with like Main Street Lansing, to kind of give that a shot in the arm.
Yes. Andrew Boddicker, director. I think we'll be talking with him more soon in the future. A lot of amazing people in the mix.
Main Street Lansing has brought in all of their people to help support and see how we can assist and what's going to be best. And Iowa DOT too has been like, okay, the bridge is closed, take alternate route. But Lansing's still open for business.
Right, right.
And so really, we're working on making sure that message is loud and clear.
Well, man, and I tell you what, the drive from up or down from Lansing on either, going either direction, is honestly just a beautiful drive along the river.
It is.
And, you know, get a little extra stop in New Albany. Who doesn't like us? And having to be forced to stop in New Albany for a little extra.
Well, you know, even this week.
The high chaparral, a little jerky. Come on.
Totally agree. We had somebody this weekend that hopped on, caught a ride in Lansing with a friend, and then came up to Buzzards in New Albany. So it all works. I think the more of the reality checker, the workers,
and
so this water taxi has provided, it doesn't solve all problems, but we had anywhere from 40 to 60 people that were working in Lansing that needed to come over. We don't quite have the same number as Clear that go the other way. But the thing is, when you're thinking about Thornton Manor and, you know, those that care for our loved ones and you look at the postmaster, or you might be looking at somebody that's bartending for the local bar, you know, you're just really, wow, what an impact.
Yeah, and putting on an hour commute for people in one way or the other in those positions is not, I mean, that's a huge life change. That doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, and think of it, I mean, if you have small children that get off the bus at a certain time and all of a sudden you're going to be another hour, you know, those things.
That's tough. Really tough.
But really hard.
Lemons out of lemonade. I love it. The Lansing Project, we're going to talk a bunch more about Rhymes with Lansing. Those shows are coming up, so keep an ear out for those. Valerie Reinke, thanks for being here. We're going to take a quick turnaround, and we're going to come back, talk a little more about business and industry in Alamakee County. Find it all, alamakeecounty.com. That's the place. Check it all out, tourism industry in Alamakee County. Val, we're going to be right back in just a second. This is Rhymes with Alamakee today.
Hi, this is Erin Henning-Nichols, founder and editor-in-chief of Inspired Magazine. Rhymes with Decor is brought to you by Inspired Media, bringing you positive news since 2007. Find us on stands across the Driftless, or check out our new website, or become a member at iloveinspired.com. Creating stories about communities you love by people you trust. Thanks for being inspired.
And the voice of my partner in life and business, Erin Henning-Nichols there, an Alamakee County native herself. Fun stories. I should have had her here for this show, Val. It's a funny thing. I am the person who doesn't mind being out in public at all in our business, and so I'm also the yes person. So I find myself in these positions frequently as someone out amongst. But Erin is really, truly the genius behind our business and makes all the pretty things and
way to go, Erin.
Does all the good stuff. So she should be here talking, actually, because she grew up in Postville, not in Postville, right outside of Frankville. Went to high school in Postville, like classic story. But lots of family, both sides of her family in Alamakee County, and lots of great folks still in Alamakee County living there. Amazing stuff goes on in Alamakee County that people have sometimes no idea of. Industry, business. It is a rural part of our state. Gosh, what did you say, 14,000 in Alamakee County?
Just under 14,000.
I often throw the figure around when I'm talking to people outside of specifically Northeast Iowa, but of even Winnesee County being 22 on a good day, something like that. You know, just of the, it's a, there are not, there just aren't a lot of people here, which mm-hmm. is a benefit and a challenge at times, depending on what part of the...
Yeah, you're right.
Depending on what you're looking for. But business and industry are really interesting. Name a couple of the, just off the top of your head, what are some of the large employers in Alamakee County that are the industries and business? Obviously, we have the agriculture industry touching every aspect of our life, a huge part of life in Northeast Iowa, right?
Well, that's true. That's true. And our largest employer for years has been Agra in Postville. And I have done a tour through there. I had no idea. No idea the number of cattle that came through, the number of poultry chickens that come through, the number of people that work there, the fact that they actually have one whole department of just sharpening knives. You know, my goodness. I mean, I just didn't know.
Right. Right. 450 plus, probably. Is that a safe number?
I think that is a safe number.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, it fluctuates, but definitely they have been a great organization to work with. And the fact that with the influx of population that comes in and out for working there brings on a whole different dynamic for Postville.
Absolutely.
And I'm really excited because we have been bringing in the Heart and Soul program.
Yes.
And we have a great leader with Crystal at the library,
absolutely,
who is also working that avenue. And what we've been able to do with that is really be like, okay, there's this many people from the Ukraine, or this many from somewhere, it might be Venezuela, it might be Mexico itself. But the thing is that we need to hear from all of them.
Yeah.
And it needs to be in conjunction with the percentage of the demographic
yes,
that right. we're hearing from. And we have actually gotten there. I mean, we have awesome. Done a way better job in regard to bringing in all of these demographics and hearing from them and getting them involved. And I could go on and on because I'm pretty excited about it.
I've actually wanted to do a show, Chris. We've talked about it before. We need to make it happen at some point soon.
Yes.
Because the Heart and Soul, if people don't know, is a framework, essentially, that was created for communities to take on and sort of, it's not a community assessment. It's not, it's a framework of how to improve your community, essentially, or bring your community to the table, I guess, and that improves the wrong word. But it's a really neat program. It's something they have been working for a couple of years. And it's a really, really committed process. So it's really neat. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And Erin, my wife, went to school in Postville the whole way through her elementary through high school, and lived through a lot of the changes and things that have happened in Postville. But like, it is an incredible place. The Postville, the school district, the work that has been done within that district is mind-bending. It is unbelievable how much everyone in that district has come to the table to create a place for everyone to learn in.
Well, yes,
we've got some stories. It's really amazing. Yeah.
I even think about this past year. I think they had between 50 and 70 new students that came in. Now, imagine a school district in Northeast Iowa managing that, but that is how it is there.
Yeah.
But it is definitely shining a light, and we've done some pretty cool things in regard to bringing people around town so they can meet the business owners and see what is available. And that piece, I think we will just continue to grow, especially because we've knocked down some walls, right? We've actually, made really good contacts. And I look at it, and on Main Street, there's a new building going up that is going to be the frozen pizza production facility that used to be in Waukon.
Oh, my
gosh. And it is kosher. And they'll have a restaurant, too.
Oh, wow.
So, there's just
fun.
Really fun stuff. And then I look at Ziegler, and they are building a new building, and will be adding new jobs.
Heavy equipment facility, right?
Yep.
Farmers market too. That's just off the top of my head.
Yes.
They've been working really hard on their summer farmers market series, evening series. Some really neat stuff going on. People should keep an eye out for that as we get into the
agreed
in the summer season, right? Business and industry on the big picture too. A couple other things I want to touch on. One funny story. So Colgo, K-O-L-G-O, is a company that builds wire racking. If people don't know about them, and they're out on the highway. Like if you don't know where they are, there's no reason. They're fascinating business. They're out in the country. They built our racks, our magazine racks that are all over the region. 16 years ago, probably. It was a tiny project. I think we did 50 with them, which they were very gracious to work with us on. And we, of course, paid them for them. But they work with major, major retailers and manufacturers all over the country, building wire racking, shelving, the kind of stuff you see at registers in any of the convenience stores, drug stores, etc. Just kind of one of those examples. A really neat company sitting out.
I would agree.
In rural Alma Key County,
A lot of family involved with Coal Gold. I mean, that kind of ties to that. But I'm also looking at that as, I mean, they're a nice size employer of over 40 employees. Mm-hmm. And you're right. If you follow them on LinkedIn, you'll see the new things that they, could come off the production line with.
Nice. I love that. Another one we were talking about earlier, just kind of as a side, fun, interesting connection of worlds, right? WW Homestead, right in Waukon. A really interesting kind of intersection of family dairy, the dairy business, ice cream. Who doesn't love ice cream? Cheese curds, kind of taking a little different approach to the old regional creamery type business.
Right. It's definitely one of those vertical models where it's like, okay, they've got family members that are milking the cows, but they also have a veterinarian within the family.
Yeah.
And I mean, they've really been able to control exactly what is going into their cows. And so they have a very consistent milk. And obviously that's why their chocolate milk is number two in the world.
Oh man, it's good
too. And deliciousness
by
far. That's
another stop of mine on my route. I can't eat ice cream that much on my delivery route, but I do grab a chocolate milk usually when I'm there.
That's I mean, look at what they're doing now. I mean, they've got the cottage cheese and they do the butter. And yes, of course, they've got the ice cream, but Their facility, I mean, they've really done some great things, and you definitely can follow them too in regard to all of the awards that they win.
Yeah, I love that. While we're in Walk-On, downtown Walk-On, gosh, you know, things keep changing in downtown Walk-On. Every time I'm over, I feel like there's just something else is happening. It's really fun. You guys have some amazing businesses that have been there for a while. Of course, Steel Cow bringing all sorts of neat things into the downtown and art world in their world alone. But women business owners, you mentioned too, right? Just like a really critical mass of women business owners right now.
It is really great when you can promote and be like, no, you can spend the day here. And that is because there are enough shops between gift shops and boutiques and jewelry stores and flowers and et cetera. But we also have some really great places to eat, some places to grab coffee.
Aztec Parlor is another favorite of mine. Aztec Parlor is downtown.
It's a great little spot. Yep. So all of those things play into that. But we also came out with a countywide facade program that we had a number of businesses across the Cook County to take advantage of. But just even looking at the town theater. And we had people that walked in and they're like, it's open? It's like, it's been open, but it hasn't made your facelift.
Right. And one of the few places in our region where you can actually go in, sit down, watch a movie, eat a pizza, hang out, have a beer, get candy for the kids, the popcorn, you got the whole deal.
It's so much fun. And they're actually bringing live music here in April. Which is super cool. And I hope John Earp, who is the owner, continues with that venue, because I think that's something that Walk-On would really enjoy.
Absolutely.
And beyond.
And at the main downtown corner, AJ Steakhouse, I want to mention too. There have been some really incredible, and again, like talk about economic development, but like projects that have happened that took, you know, and every town deals with this. Decorah is dealing with this in some ways right now. Buildings that become vacant over time,
for whatever
reason, right? I mean, we had an extremely fortunate situation, which was not a fortunate situation when our legacy JCPenney store left, right?
Exactly.
And luckily, a very committed business owner and some other business owners came together to figure out a cool solution. But that's not every town and that's not every building, because that's a really tall order. The AJ Steakhouse is kind of a great story, right? That was another big, old, beautiful building.
Once again, you had motivated people that work hard, that could bring some cash to the table, the city could bring to the table, and along with the grants that they received. So it was kind of a three-party or more, if you will, to put dollars into something that truly is right there at the center of your downtown.
Yeah.
But they could bring something that we really, really needed. And they had the background to bring that kind of restaurant. What a major improvement.
Yeah. Okay, before we wrap up the show, there's one more big topic I think we should touch on, and that is housing, because I know you've mentioned that you guys are also working on housing. And not only working on it, but like you are getting there on it. Which is a really big deal. You know, I often have to remind people on this end of the world, the Decorah City Council in this year in their goal setting, you know, has put housing really high in the rank. And it's, we have to, everybody has to. I think somewhat, you know, in a U.S. situation, we're just at a weird place in time. There are reasons that housing is really painful and hard, and those are really big things that we can't control from a small rural place in Iowa, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of our towns are getting creative and finding solutions for what we do need, right? Talk about what you guys are doing.
Well, I will say in Waukon, working with the city manager, Gary Bowden, we've been working on this for 3 years. I mean, it's been a big deal for 3 years. And there's been a lot of ups and downs where, you know, you talk to developers and you think you might have somebody and they go away. And you talk to another one, or you might reconnect with someone. And then there might be an issue like, oh, I don't know, COVID. Or there could be an issue like, oh, interest rates, or, supply and demand. But you just have to continue the movement, right? Yeah. And for us, realizing that you don't have a project until you have a project, meaning you need a piece of land, it needs to be ready to go. And all of us are talking about housing, but unless you have that, you're just talking.
Yep.
And that is what the domino that fell, I guess you could say, where all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, we've got 5 acres. Oh my gosh, we've got the other X amount of acres that we've been able to handle the water runoff for a large area. That just doesn't happen overnight, and the stars aligned. And now we are ready to bring in someone to build apartments.
Awesome. And that was my next question, is what type of housing are you identifying?
Yes, we're looking at definitely apartments there. It is right next to our 46-acre park. Mm-hmm. It is just up the street from the new street that goes down to the grocery stores, a bank.
Yeah, right.
And then the other way, you've got WW Dairy. You know, so it's a win that way. But once again, we are super close to thinking that we might have a development agreement where we could have 36 apartments built.
Wow.
And that's the idea that those go well, and the other half of it could be another 36 apartments. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at people that live, work, and play here in the area. And because it's so hard to get housing like that built, it really could draw from 20, 30 miles.
Oh, absolutely. I think easily. And it's a really interesting thing to me, right, in that it's a complicated subject. We could go on a multiple show series on housing. But, you know, we're at a moment, I think, particularly in our part of rural Iowa and the rural U.S., where, like, the landscape's changing quickly. We have people who, I will just say broadly, our parents' age, who are at, you know, retirement age, a little older maybe, somewhere in there. And they're, you know, if they're all doing well and whatnot, kind of ready to do something else besides take care of a giant house, do some of those things. And so there's a lot of transition happening there, not enough to fill our housing needs. So what do we build for folks who want to transition out of a home? What do we build for folks who want to transition into a home? You know, all of those things are just, there's so many moving pieces, but boy, that sounds like a really cool project.
Let's just all think positive thoughts that it all comes together, because it's been a long time since something like that has happened.
Sure.
And there's another project just in the wings that could happen that would be more like duplexes. So kudos to all. And then meanwhile, we continue to work with all of our cities in regard to what needs to be torn down, what can be purchased that could be possible future housing.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Valerie, thank you for your time and being here today. We're going a little long just because I'm loving this conversation. There's a question that I always try and wrap up the show with here lately that's kind of a fun one for people. And that is, let's just say, and I'm imagining you have some weekends off at least here and there, or you're on the farm, or whatever else. You have the perfect weekend day in Alma Key County. What is it for you or for you and your family? What is out and about for you guys, or what is the perfect day for you?
Well, utopia, you know, it's out there. It's out there, meaning people are smiling on the street, and people have shopping bags, and people are eating ice cream and are walking to their home and then going to the trails and all those good things. I mean, I can't help but want that, because it's a long process to that. Mm-hmm. And we have to have the vision and the desire to get there. Mm-hmm. Me personally, if I can get up in the morning and walk our pasture land, and the other week I kicked up 2 coyotes. That was cool.
Yeah.
The other weekend when I was walking, I kicked up 9 deer. one day I was walking and I had geese that flew off the pond, and I was coming over the knoll, and honestly, I thought I could touch their bellies. So,
oh my gosh, those are great.
I guess for Val, that's her downtime, and I really enjoy that.
Boy, and what a fortunate place to be. That sounds incredible. I will share a quick one for myself just because it ties super closely to Alma Key County. If I have the perfect, generally a Sunday morning during the summertime, if I can bug out, sometimes a Saturday works, but I like to ride bikes, and I will ride from Decorah to the in-laws in Harper's Ferry.
Oh,
and
nice.
So from Decorah to Waukon is actually a little tricky. You want to do it early. You want to get off any other of the 2-lane roads. It's just, there's a lot of traffic, but early weekend's not bad. From Waukon to Harper's Ferry, if you know where you're going, I'm not even going to try and explain here, but if you know where you're going on gravel, is one of the best rides you will ever make in your life. Particularly if you do it on a Saturday and the Amish bakery's open, it's even more
fun. Oh, well done.
Or if anything's open in Waterville. Anyway, I'm just saying there are some routes down through that way that if you're willing to pick through are world-class in terms of gravel. They're beautiful, they're serene, and it's just one of my favorite things in the world to do. And if you land at the right time in Harper's, you can have Bloody Mary.
So, voila.
I'll leave it there. Valerie Rinke, Executive Director, Almaquis County Economic Development and Tourism. Did we miss anything?
I have no idea. There's okay. So much going on, but awesome. Thank you.
I am looking forward to the Rhymes with Lansing shows that we're putting together here in the next couple weeks. They're going to be really fun. I hope folks will listen into those. Go on down to Lansing and hang out if you've got an afternoon or an evening. Go see Paul Horsfall. You have something you need at Horsfall's for sure. And just go down and see the folks, spend a little time down there. And of course, river time is coming right around the corner. So lots of fun stuff happening. Valerie, thank you for being here. We will talk again soon.
Thank you so much. Love it.
Have a good day. You've been listening to Rhymes with Decora, a podcast project of Inspired Media. Find us online at iloveinspired.com. You can find 50 plus shows of this podcast at decora.fun. Of course, those are available on iTunes, Spotify, wherever else you find your podcasts. If you've enjoyed the music on today's show, it is the work of Mr. Nick Zielinski. Nick is a drummer. He's a Decoran. He's a fascinating guy. Find him online at Indicative of Drumming. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Rhymes with Almaquis or Decora. Bye-bye.
Rhymes with Decora is a project of Inspired Media. Find us online at iloveinspired.com.